extra time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Get lost.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here!
Wow, from New York, you are listening to Extra Time, presented by AT&T 5G. I am Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer on this beautiful Thursday. David Goss is here. Charlie Davies is here. Behind the scenes, sending us chat messages we cannot possibly read on air. Producing Anders is here. He's the ever-present, making it all go round. Big show today. Huge show today. Massive news today, Thursday night. After we record, we don't yet know. We have no inside information. We will know the 15 cities that will host 80 World Cup matches in 2026 in North America. It will be done. Fates will be sealed. Children, adults, everyone will be clamoring for tickets, memories to be made, but we don't know yet. We'll talk about that later, but let's start with the big news of the day, guys. Senior Fern hits us up, says, you guys going to be on Apple TV next year? It seems like that's very possible. Like that maybe we should be. MLS, Apple, groundbreaking, historic, a new media deal. We've been waiting months for this news. Everybody on pins and needles. Well, it is done. The next decade of MLS TV rights, streaming rights, however you want to define it, media rights, maybe more accurately, is sealed. Whole lot of money. Flowing from Apple to MLS, whole lot of expertise that Apple has, whether it be in marketing or technology, flowing to MLS. It's a wonderful thing. The details are this. One place around the world to watch the league. You just need the internet. There are no blackouts. I repeat, there are no blackouts. You don't have to get in my Twitter mentions. You don't have to have Mark McClure. You don't have to go through like a Byzantine list of like, okay, if I live here, if I'm here, well, what's it on? What you know? No blackouts, period. If you have the internet, you can watch every week. There will be games with no paywall. There will be some on the MLS package on Apple TV. It is not part of the Apple Plus TV side. So if you have Apple TV Plus, you will get some games. Not all. But if you have the MLS package, you will get all. And if you have neither, you can still watch a ton for free. Every app is on every Apple device. Obviously, smart TVs, Rokus, you probably have those. Or you can just go to tv.apple.com starting in 2023. I mean, there are a lot more details. We'll go into those details. Let's start with first impressions. Charlie, what's your first impression, man?
Hyped. This is a game changer. To be honest, when you see Apple and MLS and this massive deal, and it's not a short-term deal, this is a long-term investment. This is a deal of dreams. This is literally grand slam, fireworks. Best case scenario, they did it. And so I think what I'm looking at is a lot of content. This is going to be content jammed down your throat everywhere. And nowadays, it's very rare that you don't find an Apple product in someone's home. iPhones, iPads, you can go down the list. I'm really hyped because I think that when you're talking about access to the games, people are going to be able to see it. And Apple, they have just baseball on Friday nights. This is what we're talking about. The brand recognition of Apple and soccer in this country, around the globe, highlighting our sport. It's fantastic. So yeah, I'm pumped. Let's go.
It is what I would call sort of the first global sports streaming service, like direct to consumer. Not through a broadcaster, not through a third party. It is directly to you. And I'm wondering if it could even set a trend. I mean, you talk about Major League Baseball. I mean, part of their package is there. And we see that on, say, like Amazon Prime with the NFL and otherwise. But not the entire league in this place. And not globally either. I saw Fabian Herbers, who does a great podcast with Julian Gressel. I think Z Podcast is the name of it, but I can't be confirmed on that. He was saying that his dad has to go through a lot of hoops in Germany to watch the games. Well, the hoops are no more. And that goes for people in Germany. That goes if you're in Kansas City like I am, if you're in, Brooklyn where Dave is, or somewhere outside of Boston in his castle where Charlie is. It doesn't matter where you are.
Wait, but you don't know where
I live. You can access this.
Don't talk about where I live.
I do. I know exactly where you live.
You don't know anything about where I live.
Watch out. Don't get doxxed. I'm just saying.
God said, keep my name out your mouth.
All games in 1080p, All games broadcast in English and Spanish. My understanding is it'll also be French for our friends in Montreal. Not just MLS. We're talking Leagues Cup, MLS Next Pro, MLS Next, all in that service. There is sort of the news as well via The Athletic, Sam and Paul, SBJ, that linear deals are likely to also be a part of this. All games will be on the Apple side, all games, including the linear ones. But it's likely that, say, like ESPN, Univision, Fox are still going to be in the mix for this too. Maybe Canadian broadcasters. Still waiting on that. More news will come out. But for right now, the Apple part is like the big, meaty, 10-year, this is everything part. Consistent scheduling and game times centered around Wednesday and Saturday nights. That's good for viewers, obviously. You know when the games are going to be. It's also good for those, maybe even more so, that who attend, season ticket holders, who have to build their lives and their habits and their schedules around these things. Like, you have a good idea of like what is going to be marked out on your schedule over the course of a year. Speaking of that, this is one of the huge positives, I think, like just jumped off the page for me when you talk about fan service, supporter service. If you have a full season ticket membership, you're a holder, whatever you want to call it, you get this MLS package on Apple TV for free. It's part of your package. You buy the tickets, you get that as well. There's going to be a Saturday Night Whip Around show. This is the MLS channel on Apple TV. That's not just going to be games, obviously. It's the Whip Around show. It's shows. It's coverage. It's maybe something like Extra Time or The Call-Up or fill in the blank, you know, power ranking show we do. I don't know what it's going to be, to be honest with you. Everybody wants to ask me what the details are. It's a blank slate that I'm not yet, I don't fully know. I'm just excited to see that sort of attention, that sort of spotlight, you know, on our league that, to be frank, we don't always get. And the centralized production aspect by MLS is a big one too. The local broadcasts, I know people are frustrated. Those are going away, but you'll have the opportunity, like on the Major League Baseball side, to choose your local radio call if that's what you'd like. So you get, you know, a very, you know, team-centric side of it. But you also have these teams of broadcasters, you know, you can maybe call them an all-star team of broadcasters rolling around the league to bring you every game, same way as you see with the NFL. You don't have local broadcasters in that sense outside of the radio. So, yeah, I'm excited. I've read a nice list here. Obviously, everybody knows that I get just extremely jacked about those, and I cede the floor now, Dave. It's all you. What are you most excited about?
Well, I don't think there's anything left to say. I think you nailed it all. I think for all of us, right? One, I'd say for all of us that care about this league as much as we do, as much as the fans of this show do, who have followed it for a while, the stability of a 10-year deal is massive. The future, the partnership, as Charlie said, with an organization like Apple is huge. That global nature for, let's be real, the push, as Commissioner Garber has said, is to be one of the great leagues in the world. To be accessible around the world is part of that. And that is growth for these clubs to be able to be seen all over. I think Gary Stevenson mentioned if you sign a Colombian player and then it comes out on Apple, you know, a news report in Colombia, in South America, Asia, Africa, it's a way to sort of spread this league a little bit more. You mentioned season ticket holders and supporters. I've heard from a bunch of them who are excited because there are no blackouts. They do get that access and there will be more content. If you care about this league, this is good for you. And I think that's what's exciting is it really hits on both sides. For hardcores, this is a great deal. You're going to be able to get more MLS for an easier way to do it. You have, from the league point of view, you have a partnership with a company, an organization like Apple that cares, that's involved, that's around for the long term. And then you will be able to hit new fans through what this is. And so I think all of that's really exciting for a league that is still growing. And it's not where the other leagues in the U.S. are. It's not where some of the, you know, leagues around the world that have been around for 100 years are. How do you get there? And all of those leagues had to take risks at some point or had to do something new, be the first to do something. And now this is MLS's opportunity. Charlie, you're muted.
Charlie's on mute.
You also get, there's a weed whacker right outside of the window.
Predictable. What? It's Thursday mornings. Yeah. You had to schedule the lawn service in the middle of the show. You're like, okay, yeah. Right here by my office, there's a window. Yeah. Right about 1:30 p.m. Eastern. Yeah. Could you just go by that window with the leaf blower?
Could you really just start whacking everything right here? All just these
back
weeds.
And forth. Yeah.
But you get the four of us. This is a package deal. We're coming into MLS content. Apple, the four of us, let's go. Package.
All right. I'm riding your coattails, Charlie. I'm just holding on for dear life. Speaking of, Rockin' Mel Slurup says, is it true that the MLS Apple deal will include a Weeby cast, which I am so gracious as to expand that to a Weeby, Davies, Goss,
produce an Anders cast in which we all are locked in a bunker somewhere providing commentary on all matches.
It's interesting how the tweet had my name mentioned, but Weeby acted like he was the one bringing me in.
Oh, no.
Really, really magnanimous from Andrew Weeby there.
I was trying to bring the whole squad in, okay? I thought you would. I thought you'd be part of that.
I don't know. It sounds like Rock and Mel... Dave, thought I was part of it as well.
Do we have to work this off screen here? I mean, we've been a package deal for years at this point. I thought this just went together.
You don't even know where I live, Andrew. Don't even start.
Okay. All right. I won't dox you. I was thinking about it. Here's what I will say about this. And I've heard people say, well, this is too complicated. I can't figure this out. Like, I like the way it was. Like, change is always really difficult. I get that. You have habits, you have things ingrained in your life, the way that you consume things, the way that you organize, just the way you go about your business on any given
day. Wait, is anyone actually saying this? Or are these like the fake Austin fans that you went to battle with?
This is real. This is real.
Just making sure.
My favorite thing about this deal, among many favorite things, you know, the whip round show would go in that, the additional content that hopefully we're either part of or get to consume or both. I just think it's so simple. If you want to watch MLS games, you know exactly how to do it. And there's no, I want to watch that game, but now it's not available. It is literally every single one through the same service, the same pathway. It's all in one place. There's no question marks. If you want to watch a game, you can watch that game. And to me, that is a huge step forward. And I look at, like, you know, I'm a millennial. There are many people younger now and way more, you know, tech savvy than I am, obviously. But we all understand the place that streaming has in our lives. Whether you want to complain about, hey, there's too many services and how can I stay organized, et cetera, et cetera. This is not going away. I don't have cable anymore. I'll probably never have cable again. I still have ways to consume all that content. Habits are changing. The business of broadcast is changing. And MLS is on the very, very forefront of that right now with this deal as it pertains to sports. They have an opportunity to help set what those habits look like in the future, to help set what, you know, the technology, the content that comes through those things looks like, the business model even. And then there's the flip side of this too, that it should improve the product on the field as well. Obviously the investment from Apple, but you know, there's also a CBA component here of, you know, and we all understood that the news that came out with the deal that runs through 2027, as far as media revenue sharing and that money, when they hit those points. I don't have the math in front of me. I don't know what it'll be like. I don't think any, I wouldn't claim to know, but I do know you hit a certain threshold, which it seems like this deal will do. Money goes into the salary cap and through general allocation money to spend on players. And ultimately that's what we all want. We want the best possible league that we can watch. This deal is a home run, as Charlie said, fill in the blank other sport analogy of greatness. You know, it is going to drive, I think, MLS towards being the best league it possibly can be. And that's a positive for everybody involved. Do we have a jailbreak going on here, Charlie? It seems like somebody's trying to get into your room. Seems like somebody's trying to invade the Wizard office right now.
It's Dakota.
Dakota
said, Daddy, can I watch you work?
Dakota,
I'll be quiet.
I promise you, it is not interesting at all.
Yeah. Any final thoughts? Anything you would emphasize? We will obviously be talking about this for a long time. And, like, you know, we joked about, hey, are you guys going to be on Apple TV next year? That anything and everything is on the table. So hit us up. Hit up the people that you know that do this stuff. Tell them what you want. Like, we sort of got an opportunity here as a fan base of the league, of our clubs, of soccer in North America to do something different and to supercharge all of it. So I'm extremely excited.
Yeah, I think it's fitting that this happens in the same week that the World Cup cities are going to be announced and that the sport has changed in this region, and MLS has been a huge part of that. But as it grows, this is a week to show that soccer, you know, North America can be the center of the global soccer sphere. And as someone who, you know, and I think all of us go in this, died to find tapes of games and watched, you know, Italian games on over the air networks on Sunday mornings, and everything was only in Spanish, and to search for the sport in this country, which was fun and a real part of why I love it, to now you come here where Apple, as Charlie said, that every person has a product of, is in a 10-year partnership with Major League Soccer to produce it globally. And the World Cup is coming to these shores, and Canada and the U.S. on the men's side are going to the World Cup. It feels like a really big week for the sport, and there's more growth that needs to happen, but we've come a really long way.
Wait, so you're saying all my games in the past are gone? So we're starting from scratch, and
no, Charlie,
no one will be able to watch any games of the old days.
Like, Charlie, all of the old games, all they kept was Revs games. So you're good.
Oh, okay, yeah. good.
Think about the Stone Ages, Charlie. Like, we're not talking about specific cavemen. We just, you know, it's the, you know, painting with a broad brush of it, and that's
one day there'll be an archaeologist and they'll come across video of Juan Agudelo scoring a bike kick against DC United in the opening round of a playoff game. And there'll be a huge exhibit about it somewhere in a museum.
Yeah. And then next to that one, a very small video of someone trying to open up a car after a goal celebration, but not knowing that it was locked, not having done the pre-work.
That backfired.
It wasn't locked at training yesterday.
Yeah, don't worry. You'll be a part of this. hey, by the way, you know, we're kind of talking about Apple. We're lionizing all this. There is a 2022 season to play here. And, you know, regardless, ESPN, ABC. Oh, what's up, Dakota? ESPN, ABC, Unimas, Univision, Fox, all these broadcasters have been a massive part of growing and bringing the game to us in this country. And they're still going to be doing so. And it's likely that some of them will be involved going forward as well. So we have 5 national TV games this weekend in MLS week what, guys? What week is it?
18, 27.
15.
Holla at you, got boy. It right. Charlie got it right. I wouldn't have known that if I didn't look it up before this show. So,
Charlie,
Saturday,
why do you know that? Oh, because you did a game yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
3 games on Saturday on national TV. Obviously, ESPN Plus is your home for everything else, which I continue to love. And every dollar I've spent there has been great, by the way. And I will continue to subscribe. But Seattle LAFC, ABC, 3 p.m. Eastern from Lumen Field, Seattle smacking Vancouver 4-0 on Tuesday while the U.S. played. LA Galaxy, Portland right after that on ESPN, so keep it on the Disney family of networks. That's 5 p.m. Eastern time. That's from Digny Hill Sports Park. And then Chicago, D.C. is on Unimas, Tudien, and of course in English on Twitter at 8 p.m. Eastern. So you got a lineup there that you can run through on national TV on Sunday. There are 2 games on national TV, 4 games overall. Atlanta, Miami at 3 p.m. Eastern starts us off on ESPN2 from Mercedes-Benz. And then at 6 p.m. Eastern, Nashville, Kansas City on your Father's Day, FS1 and Fox Deportes.
Ooh, Weavy got that one in.
I knew you were going to make a comment on that.
Biggest day of the year.
Well, I said, thank you for wishing me happy Father's Day, Dave.
You're welcome.
If you would, but now that I've brought it, we've definitely established that. So, we've done a lot here, but I guess I'll remind you what's coming. Coming up today from the AT&T 5G Virtual Studios, we are going to go through the whole league. We're going to try to do a reset here because we've been gone for a while. MLS games haven't been happening, not with the frequency we're used to. We'll try to do a little reset. Try to dig into what we think have been either the 5 biggest stories of the season so far or what'll be the 5 biggest stories to come. So talking like CCL participants, in particular the Sounders, how are they going to react the rest of the season? What's going on with LAFC? Vela's still not signed. Chiellini just went in. So are they a true title contender? Are they the title favorites, in fact, for the Shield and MLS Cup? You know I believe so. Groan. Roll your eyes right now. What do NYCFC do? Dial it out. Maybe Tati too. Talk about the summer transfer window. Insigne in, Ace, who else? There's a number 10 out of the 2 Bundesliga rumored to DC United right now. LA Galaxy are talking about getting an attacking midfield piece during the summer. Looks like Sporting KC are making signings. Everybody's going to be making moves. And then whose leap holds true? Like, you know, Charlotte, who are above the playoff line. FC Cincinnati, who are on points per game. Austin, what's going to happen with them? We'll hit our ESPN Plus game of the week. Philly Cincy's a good one this weekend. Talk 2026 World Cup cities, even though the news will be out probably when you listen to this. You can either call us idiots or savants. We'll see which one. Quick takeaways from the USMNT and Canada camps. I'd encourage you to go to YouTube. We have our first Club and Country Qatar 2022 episode out, which was awesome. Got the 26-man roster from Doyle. Went through all the transfer possibilities for USMNT and Canadian men's national team players. Had our look aheads. It's going to be fun to build up and cover the World Cup. And then we'll hit the mailbag, in which I
greatly disagree with Doyle's 26, to be clear. Go enjoy the show.
All right. Yeah, there's some.
As do I.
So. He called it wish casting. So yes. I'd actually never heard that phrase before.
It's actually an Apple product. It's similar.
Nerd. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. There's a show on Apple TV, MLS package, wish casting with Matt Doyle.
Yeah, there you go.
Take it off Twitter. It's been on Twitter for years. So MLS Reddit and Big Soccer. Yeah, so we'll hit the mailbag. Should be fun. Talking Revs in there. Maybe a little Portland, Springfield, Missouri, if I get around to it. Let's get started, though. First off, I just want to hit our produce and honors reminder of the day, which is shout out to Pedro Gaese. He had the heartbreak of World Cup playing game knockout against Australia, had his water bottle chucked into the stands. It had instructions for him on the PK shootout. That was on, Monday? Last night, Wednesday night, he starts for Orlando City against the Revs in a 1-1 draw. That is a hell of a turnaround from Qatar all the way back to this hemisphere. And also congrats to Francisco Calvo, and only Francisco Calvo, but also the rest of the Costa Ricans, the team, the nation, the diaspora, all of them. They're going to their third straight World Cup. That's pretty cool. Any thoughts on that, guys? I mean, any reactions? We have our full tournament now.
Yeah, so,
I'm hyped for CONCACAF because Costa Rica, they just turned it around that second half of World Cup qualifying and squeaked in there. So, and it all came from a defensive structure. Keylor Navas, big time. And we all see Francisco Calvo, when he plays with Costa Rica, he plays in a different manner. It's almost like, hey, what European club wants to come sign me? Because he plays that well. He doesn't make too many mistakes when he's playing with Costa Rica. And so I'm happy for all the Ticos. Vamos los Ticos. Pura vida, pura vida.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got to get the pura vida in. What about the flip side there for Peru? Dave, you educated me the other day because I was like, Raul Ruiz Diaz, why? How could he not be there? But apparently he has not been productive for the Rojo y Blanco. But that's heartbreaking. That was not the way they thought it was going to go down.
No, and this has been a new generation for them under Ricardo Gareca. I'd argue they have the best fans in the world that support a national team. They dominated Russia from a fan base point of view. I actually thought they dominated from a performance point of view and came up just a little short on finishing in that tournament. And then they, similar to Costa Rica, turned it around late. Uruguay did as well. Looked like Colombia was in the World Cup. Edison Flores was a huge part of that. The goal on the road at Colombia off the bench that got them that win. They started to rise the rankings. And, you know, I think Australia...
He hit the post, didn't he?
Yeah, he hit the post. He had another shot that was just wide. He created a chance from the end line that Cueva couldn't get his body around. I think disappointing. They played a little hesitant, scared to lose, as did Australia in that game, which I thought was a little frustrating. But Alexander Collins alongside Gayese has been unbelievable in replacing parts of that last generation. You mentioned Ruiz Diaz. We thought he'd be that guy at center forward, but Collins has been the guy at center back. So you feel for all of them, and you feel for the country that's just so passionate and so engaged with this team. But I think it'll last a little bit longer. And they are a cool story of, if you remember, Copa Centenario, I think in Boston, actually, Charlie, they beat Brazil with all these young guys that Gareca forced into the lineup and said, we're moving on to the next generation. And Cueva and Flores, they were in their early 20s and they hadn't played really at a high level. And they beat Brazil and sort of moved on. It shows you a little bit of what Canada and the U.S., I think, is looking at of like, maybe it's too early to be dominant, but if you can hang in games and these players get experience, it grows as the years go along. So it was tough to see for them, but it felt real to me on Monday and Tuesday. It felt like a World Cup. Like, tuned in, the atmosphere, volume up. I didn't do anything else during those games. I just had those games on, and it really is close. And coming out of this international window overall, watching England get smoked in UEFA Nations League, watching Wales lose, watching Belgium lose, watching Croatia lose, it was pretty exciting.
By the way, Sergeant Pickles hit us up and said, I need some ETR gloating over Daniel Gazdag.
My golden boot winner. That's my golden boot winner.
I don't think we're going to... Those don't count for you, by the way.
I get 5 points for that.
You don't get any of those. My aunt Martha hit me up a text message right after that game ended, and I was like, oh, this is interesting. She hit me up, and she's like, England is vulnerable.
Yes.
I was like, yes, let the belief spread. Let's go.
But it also is like, don't have that false hope. This is Nations League. This is coming off the back of a very difficult season.
Wow, biggest three Lions fan around.
Just stop it.
It's coming home.
I'm just saying, let's not think that the England team that we saw in Nations League is going to be this.
Have a warm beer.
The same.
Is Dakota named after Dakota England? Is that where that name comes from?
Reese. Yeah, of course.
I don't know.
No, but I'm
sounds questionable.
Davies? It does show.
Davies? I mean, we should have known.
It is English.
We should have known.
But I would say it does show that they do have vulnerabilities for sure, but they're not going to play the same
England
way.
England in a World Cup, you don't say. Vulnerabilities in a major, gosh, that is, ground broken here. No, I'm just messing around. Let's get into MLS. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
It's reset time. It's reset.
Can I take us off the rails for one quick second here on World Cup
Anders,
stuff?
Anders won't be happy, but I'm always happy.
It's Mohamed. It was Mohamed Salah's birthday yesterday, and Michael Singh, who does the best job covering TFC, put this tweet out, which was Bob Bradley just said, I traded messages with Mohamed Salah yesterday. It was his 30th birthday 10 years ago, June 10th, 2012. So I guess this was last week. We played an important World Cup qualifier in Guinea. He scored the winning goal where he moved the way he does from the right side in, got the ball in the move, scored with a great left-footed shot. I asked him if he remembered that game. He sent me a smiley face and said, yeah, that's when a lot got started. I love that Bob Bradley started Mohamed Salah's career, got him to Basel. It is one of the coolest random U.S. soccer connections ever.
Agree. We will talk about Toronto in this show. They maybe need Mohamed Salah. Yeah, they need a restart. They need Bob Bradley.
They can sign him after this season.
Yeah,
for sure.
The restart button on that expires. One. Okay, let's go into the biggest MLS stories of the season so far and what's to come. We are not halfway through the season, but I believe every team has played at least 13 games. So I would argue we're about a third of the way through the 2022 MLS season through week 15, right? I mean, the rough math getting you here. So I'm going to start with this story and see how you guys react. How will the Sounders follow up their CCL win? Can they get after even perhaps a shield with the win against the Vancouver Whitecaps? They've only played 13 games. That's the fewest, again, among all teams in MLS. It's the fewest in the playoff field in the Western Conference, and the fewest in the West overall, the only team to play 13. They're on 1.46 per game, 19 points. They are 10 points back of LAFC, just a game in hand on LAFC. What is possible for the Sounders this year? It feels like they hit their stride in CCL, hadn't done it in the league, are now starting to do it in the league. And if they do that and they're healthy, again, they're arguably the scariest team in all of MLS. And they did this without Roldan and Morris, by the way, who are away.
And no Yamar.
Yeah.
Yeah, they looked really good against Vancouver. I think the biggest, two big things that stand out is Nico's back, and not just the quality, but the ground coverage, the energy, the way he influences a game, I think, like no other 10 in Major League Soccer. Him being back at that level puts you in a place where you can lose a Roldan and Morris and still have him control games for you. It allows more flexibility, and then Raul's back to form as well, and he's scoring unbelievable goals. He is inch dangerous. The goal he scores off Leo Chu's cross in this game, the window's that big. And if you're not watching on YouTube, one, you should, and two, my fingers are very close together. The window was small for him to score that one, smacks the other one off the half volley. There's a reason, I think, there's a reason they were the first MLS team to win CCL. It's the same reason they can win a lot of trophies. In saying that about Supporter Shield, I do go back to us being in Seattle, going into CCL, and the talk about the load and health management programs that they've put together. And so on the one side, I say this is the most talented team in Major League Soccer and one of the deepest. And on the other, I look at that and I think if it comes to, they are still going to have to rotate guys because of the condensed games out of CCL, because going down the end of the season, I think the focus will be on health going into the playoffs. And so I wonder if they're already a little bit too far behind for that challenge, but they 100% are going to challenge for MLS Cup.
The other teams in CCL to watch: New England, Dragon, now up to 20 points, Charlie. Sixth in the East. Mm-hmm. Still not where they want to be. It's basically like, you know, definition of mediocrity in a sense. And 5-5-5. 1-1 draw against Orlando. Mm-hmm. What did you see for them midweek?
Well, I can tell you one thing for any Revolution fan out there that Georgi Petrovic, the goalkeeper, is a suitable replacement.
Yeah.
I mean, just his stature, the way he carries himself, you knew he was going to be legit. And his distribution is on point. That's supposed to be one of his weakest parts of his game. And it looks pretty sharp. He can get down low, good reflexes. I think his decision-making has been pretty smart. He can play out of the back. They did a fantastic job in finding a replacement for Matt Turner. Still big shoes to fill, and you got to do it consistently. But so far, so good. That's very promising.
How about Barrero?
Barrero, another player who they want to go basically like for Tejan Buchanan. Let's find someone who can do something similar to Tejan. You know, that burst of pace, that change of pace out of the midfield to run at players 1v1 and be creative. He's doing that. We haven't really seen the production in terms of goals. I don't know if he has that upside that Tejan did when it comes to being a goal scoring winger, but in terms of running at players and creating space and also looking for players, he's done that pretty well. And I'd say he's a ways off from being fully match fit. So that's encouraging as well. What I will say though, I still think defensively that they have to improve. John Bell defensively looked good. But on the ball, it took him some time to warm up, but he did get better. And ultimately, you want your center backs just to be able to defend and stop making some of the silly mistakes that they were making earlier this year. So that's already an improvement. Central midfield, they took off Kaptum and Polster at halftime. I thought both of them had a pretty good partnership going in this game.
Well, Polster got hurt, right?
Yes. I mean, he had the concussion, and it was that. I hope he walked off and he looked like he was okay in good spirits when he was leaving the stadium, but that was not something you want to see. But they had a good partnership going. That changed the game. And we all know if you lose a star striker in Adam Buxa, you typically have to bring in a replacement, a DP caliber player. And they have Jozy Altidore. They signed him for that very reason, but they haven't been using him in a manner that you would say, okay, that's always the plan, and he's going to be your guy. They haven't played him. So to me, that shows that they lack the confidence and trust in Jozy carrying them forward to get to a potential MLS Cup. That's because that's obviously.
So here's Adam. His name is Scoffs Adam on Twitter. Says Taylor said the Revs are going to get a DP9 with the Buxa, Turner, and Buchanan cash. And I'll ask you about this, like maybe even the DeJuan Jones cash. Bruce says there's no way Taylor could know that. What do you think is going to happen at that nine position and at center back and with DeJuan Jones?
Well, one, I would say Taylor's relationship with not only Ryan Bolello and Cathal Conlon, the head of marketing, but also with Jonathan and Robert Kraft, I think there's ways for him to know. he might not have the strongest relationship with Bruce himself and his coaching staff, but he definitely does with everyone who has actually signing the checkbooks. So I'm sure he wouldn't be putting something out there unless he absolutely heard it from the lips of one of those contacts. But it makes sense. Gustavo Bowe is as dangerous as he's been and productive for the Revolution. He's not a nine. Everyone knows that. Maybe for a game here and there, he's going to pop up, score some goals, and create some goals. But for a whole season, hold up play and the way he moves, it's all over the pitch. You need someone who's going to be central, like Adam Buxa, who's you can put any type of ball in the box and he's going to get on the end of it. They need to go out and invest in the squad. And with the money that they recouped over some of those impressive signings, it's only natural that you go out and get another game changer.
Can I just, I don't think pushback, because Charlie, I agree with you. I do wonder though, with the way the team is set up, basically yesterday, if Adam Buxa had been there, they would have won 2-1, and it would have been a moment of brilliance from Bowe/Heel and probably a moment of brilliance from Buxa. That would have won them the game. But I wonder, not having Adam Buxa, if their best path forward to winning MLS Cup this year is to have a second center mid who can help them defensively and then wait for the moment of brilliance from Bowe, Barrero, or Heel. I guess what I'm saying is, if that center forward comes in and doesn't hit at an Adam Buxa level this year,
I think the team takes
a bigger step back than if you don't play another center forward. Bowe floats, finds the game, but you're more solid defensively. And one of the other things I think we see with the two center mids and Barrero in there is actually more freedom for Bai and Jones, because they don't have to give width, and it allows them to vary their game. One can sit, one can come inside more than what they could do before.
But their their strengths are providing width for this team.
Yeah.
And that's where they've excelled. DeJuan Jones coming inside, that doesn't help him, because where he's able to really get by and use his athletic abilities is his pace in opening up the game.
Except for when he's megging Robin Jensen inside or Crew or whoever that was.
Once in a while. But I would say that both of those players in particular, Brandon Bye is one of the best outside backs that I've ever seen in my life when it comes to winning aerial duels and challenges. But he needs to be a little bit more efficient in the service. Both of those players had plenty of opportunities, but they weren't finding someone in the box because a la Adam Buksa is gone. Yeah. If you can find a Jermaine Jones, if you can sign a Jermaine Jones type midfielder for that team, mm-hmm. yes, you don't go out and get a striker. But like, how many people are out there that have that, possess that quality? And I think that's the difficult part.
We didn't really dive into it with you yesterday on the Club and Country show, but I want to do it now. Kyle Larin, do you think that's a realistic target for the Revs? Apparently out of contract.
Yes.
Maybe with interest from the Premier League or maybe just the Greek League, TBD.
I don't think it's realistic. I don't want to jump Charlie on this.
No, this would be my point. If you have Jose Altidore and you lined up Kyle Larin next to each other, and maybe Kyle Laren's a little bit mobile now and he's in better form, but that's not, for me, that's not enough to say we're going to go out and invest. You'd have to get somebody who offers the team a little bit more than a Kyle Larin. And no disrespect to Kyle Larin at all, but I don't see a great improvement from Jose Altidore.
Do
I
would you say, think that they would, right. just one question. Do you think they would target a established in prime striker, which I think is what you would call Larin right now? He's like, he is who he is. Probably he's at like what, he's 26, 27, somewhere in that range. 26.
27,
yeah. So he's like, he's entering, whatever. Entering his
prime. Anders, tell us.
Yeah, God, let us know in the chat. He's entering or at the beginning of his prime or in the middle of it. Or would they go try to find somebody who, along with Altidore and Bo, is sort of like the veteran, pressures on them guys? Would they maybe go try to find somebody with a high upside who's on the younger end, who could do basically what they did with Buksa, which is develop and sell a little bit? What do you think they would want to do?
They're in it for winning now. That there's no doubt. They have some players for long-term, a long-term project in terms of Dylan Barrero, Georgi Petrovic. They have some of those players, but they need to win now. They need MLS Cup. That's what they're going for. They won the Supporters Shield. That's an incredible achievement for the club, but MLS Cup, winning a trophy now. So you have to go out and get someone who's going to make a difference now. And if it's not defensive midfielder, a real strong central midfielder to give some flexibility to this team, because if you can play Gustavo Bo, and I know Goss keeps saying Boo. Monsters, Inc. I would say if you're playing Boo and Altidore together, then I do think you need to bring somebody in to stabilize the team to allow them to play with those two strikers.
You also need to win MLS Cup, right? You built this team. You've got a coach in Bruce Arena who is there to win. You don't know how much longer he'll be there. You need to win your club's first ever MLS Cup. You are close. You need to get over the line. It's not about in 5 years or 7 years. You figure that part out later. It is about winning MLS Cup.
Boom. So if we have Boo, who's would like Carlos Hill be Mike, and then maybe Josie is James P. Sullivan? Are we? Sorry, I couldn't help myself on that one. Okay, let's talk about some of these other teams.
If you're watching on YouTube, our reaction was because Kyle Larin is 27. I was wrong, as usual.
Charlie was 26.
I don't know why he wanted to
chat.
Compete with your boy. I really don't.
27 in April, says Anders. So we have the exact number to reference there. Here's another big story.
Oh, come on. I only check ages in March every year. Exactly. That's my line.
Yes, that's right. I knew
next
that.
April, I'll be right. NYCFC is another team in CCL that has recovered well, even better than Seattle. They are top of the East. They're not top of the Supporters Shield. That's LAFC. Ronnie Dyla out, and probably Tati too, if I guess somebody hits that $15 million valuation. Just we keep rolling along. Nobody has, but it feels like this summer is going to be that time.
league.
What does the rest of the season represent for
I thought you were saying Revs, Charlie. I thought that's what you were saying.
No, Leeds. Okay. Leeds
you think Leeds?
No, but my point is Tati Castellanos has been an incredible player for New York City FC for a couple of seasons now. How is his price tag only 15 million? That's what I don't understand. Ricardo Pepi goes for 20, and you know,
Buxa goes Amarone for 10.
Went for 27. I think for Tati Castellanos, he not only can he hold up the ball and score in different ways, a variety of different ways, good in the air, good at playmaking. You know, he doesn't have the most electric pace, but he does everything else, and he works hard for the team. He's changed his attitude, his mentality. I think Ronnie Dyla was really helpful for him to develop him as a overall, well, you know, well-rounded striker. But he can play on the wing too. That boggles my mind. That's a bargain for 15 million.
Yeah, I mean, in the Premier League too, at 15, like that's nothing.
Right.
Teams are throwing around much more.
But Charlie, I think we talked about this a bit, but to me, if he goes overseas and plays well, it does change the perception at that position for guys like this out of MLS, because I think it's all a perception thing. Because I agree with you. How does Adam Buxa, and it's great, off 1 and maybe 1.5 years, get to 10 million, and this is where Tati is after 3 years, a golden boot?
Polish national team, maybe?
Okay, but...
Tati doesn't have the national team chops.
Do we think Adam Buxa would be playing over Lautaro Martinez or Messi? Right? That's not on Tati. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
I'm just saying. What now for NYCFC? How about that? General story for the rest of the year. I think it's a huge one. They've been the best, the defending champs, for God's sake.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been the best regular season team in the league for 5-6 seasons.
Yeah, but they've been regular season through multiple coaches. Yeah, so that's where, if you are a fan, your confidence has to come from, is that this is a club that has set an ethos from the top down that is not affected by individuals. You have three of your assistants who are now being elevated to help run this show, who have all been around. You have a sporting director who has built this roster. Even if Tati leaves, as we've said a million times, the talent has already been brought in, and the base defensively is there with Sean John and Collins, and now another DP center back to even manage if the attack does take a step back, which it doesn't seem like it will.
And guys that have rotated it outside back as well. I mean, you lose arguably the best defender in the league at right back, and you just plug in your homegrown. They've rotated it left back between Admonson and others. Like, the depth that they have is incredible. I've thought to myself many times over the course of sort of this news coming out with NYCFC, Ronnie Dyla, well, what's going to happen with Tati, et cetera. The person I would be the most nervous about leaving is David Lee. Like, those guys, you know, because when they lost Vieira, it seemed... You know, it seemed like it might go downhill quick. And then, okay, well, it kind of did for a second. And then Dome got it right back up. And then from the start, Ronnie was a hit. You know, we've talked about over and over, like Tyus Magno or Eber or whoever it is, Dave. They've got replacement. They got talent. They've got the ability to plug in for Tati. It won't be the same, for sure, but they can still roll along. How do you think their season ends? Does it end with the trophy? Charlie, what do you think?
If Tati goes nowhere, it ends with a trophy.
Okay. But if he leaves, you don't think so.
If he leaves, no. It does not end with a trophy.
Okay. I will tell you in 1 week. Well, if there's still an Open Cup, then it feels pretty likely that they've got to... I'll feel pretty safe. If they get knocked out by Red Bull next
week... You have to say now. You have to say 50%. Now.
Anders, I'm losing service.
40. Gotta turn on. Gotta keep going. Here's another big story that we'll be watching, obviously. LAFC, top of the supporters shield, talking about who can win trophies. 29 points. They're at the top right now. And that is, I believe, 29 through just 14 games played. Yeah, that's correct. So 9 wins, 3 losses, 2 draws, plus 13 goal differential. Been obviously good home and away in Steve Cherundolo's first year here. They got the Giorgio Chiellini signing over the top. He seems to be like, this is part of the championship push. Mamadou Fall has got to be doing backflips to train and play and be mentored by somebody like that. I mean, that's the stuff you dream about. You know, we'll see what the actual pairing is between him and Mario and Chiellini. But Chiellini's not an every minute player. Chiellini's not an every minute player.
As a young player, you're like, I don't want to just sit and learn. You know, it would be great to play next to him.
He's not just going to sit.
But he's not going to start every game.
That's fair.
So he's going to lose playing time.
And the biggest games, he's going to be on the bench.
Right.
So
Do you think it will be Mario over Mamadou Fall then? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
Most likely, yes. I would say yes.
Okay. I'll be curious to see the decision that Steve Trundle makes in those cases and how they use Chiellini, who will be available, I believe, for the first time ahead of El Tráfico, which is that's worked out pretty well on the other side of that rivalry before for a veteran coming from Europe, Zlatan. Carlos Vela's not signed. Tick-tock. LAFC, the rest of their season, Dave, what's it represent? Like within their own club's confines, not within the entire league.
I get it. It really does all hinge on the Vela signing. But I would say if they don't re-sign him, I think they've retooled the club in a way to continue on without him. Right. If Vela wasn't on this roster on July 1st, I don't think any of us would look at them going into games and saying this team can't compete. Right. Cifuentes, potentially Brian Rodriguez, Arango, that back line, Ryan Hollingshead, Escobar, Crepeau. They have added pieces, Kellen Acosta as well, that allows them to compete and will compete for MLS Cup with or without Vela. But I think if they do sign Vela, if they re-sign him, it'll say, similar to what I said with the Revs, of like, they believe this is the year to push for it. Mm-hmm. I think the Chiellini signing was that. And so I would be surprised if he's not coming back. And I would say then they're all in. They pushed all their chips in to getting it done this year. And it's tough in a one-game knockout. They've struggled in playoffs before. It's tough to guarantee anything, but they'll be one of the favorites for the rest of the season.
Seems to me likely that, I mean, look, it seems like the Vela deal is done, just not announced, but a lot of things can seem like things and then blow up. You know,
didn't the season start and it felt like if Vela wants to stay, he's here? Yeah, and then it's sort of all wrapped up, and then it feels like, uh-oh, Vela's hurt. Vela's not playing as well. Does Elliot, and this could all be outside perception, right? With silence, we all create narratives. And it could be everything's been done, as you said, and I don't know why they wouldn't have announced it, is the weird part. But it does feel like it has shifted. And I say that in what I just said of like, because it doesn't feel like the roster is 100% reliant on his production anymore, and therefore it is not sign him or give the season away.
Yeah, and it might be on years. Maybe they have the parameters on like what they're willing to pay per season, and maybe we're speculating 1,000% right now. And Carlos is like, I'd like 2.5, and LFC says, I think we're going to do 1.5. I think that's what we're good for. And if I was LFC, I'd be trying to time it up on the same timeline as Chiellini. I'd be saying that is our, you know, this is our title push, man. Like, can we get more out of Brian? We got Arango. We've got all these like players we've traded for within the MLS confines that have really thrived for us so far and elevated both our floor and our ceiling. Let's try to time these two guys up, who are sort of the veteran upside dudes, like could make the difference 1,000% in the playoffs. Carlos Vela could just dominate a playoffs, same way he sort of did in CCL and they lost in the final. Chiellini could be just a shutdown defender for you. Let's try to time him up, go win 2 MLS Cups. Here is that particular champion window. And at the end of that, we'll have TAM money to deal with. Maybe you're going to sell Mamadou Fall. We could replace Carlos. We still have a DP spot that they can spend. I mean, that's the other thing that's crazy. They still have a DP spot. They could go take it to another level.
And they're talking, and as far as I know, they have identified a couple of big time signings, and they have to make a decision on who they're going to go with. That, I mean,
position do you think?
Let's just say you sign a big time striker. Because you have someone who can come in and change the game. Then what do you do with Arango? Is that a trade? Is that, you know, you have to get value for, if you have too many attackers, you could also bring in another influential midfielder who could help facilitate and be one of those players who can create opportunities and pass to Carlos Vela and Brian Rodriguez and Arango. So I'm excited to see who they bring in. It's pretty easy to say, hey, we got the new club in LA as our badge, and this is our stadium. I mean, it's an attractive offer.
Got to put a star over the crest, though. Galaxy have 5 of those. Greg Vanney says that he wants to add an attacking midfield piece during the summer, and that ought to surprise nobody. They definitely need that one. That would be a useful
Weeby, if your theory is correct, right, that Pozuelo is a legitimate option for them, wouldn't it make sense for TFC to trade him?
I was actually just like, you started that question in my mind. I was like, I wonder if he's going to ask, should they just trade for Pozuelo now?
Because like,
if he's not a part of Bob's project.
Yeah.
Like, which Bob knows by now. Bob knows. Like, he knows whether this is long-term for he and Alejandro. And Alejandro probably knows, too.
Seems like it.
You know? So, yeah, transfer window this summer. It's not just incoming from Europe or incoming from South America or from Central America or wherever. It's outgoing, obviously, unless a much bigger part of that side of the market now. But also, it's outgoing and ingoing within the league. Like, the internal market we've seen over the last couple of years just be one of the most fascinating parts about this league. I say do it, man. You're talking about championship windows, Chicharito, etc. If you think that would change your team and you could get him for, you know, hey, the problem is, where does he fit on the books? DP money, etc.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? We don't know if they have the space for
him. Boy, it looks like that Douglas Costa move. Boy, it's like if you could give up everything he's given you so far in order to have the DP spot to then go get Pozuelo now, would you do it? It sort of feels like you would, even if it's not Pozuelo, if it's another attacking number 10 DP. TBD on that one. How about Insigne, Charlie? How much does he change Toronto?
Quite a bit.
And what's he coming into?
He's coming into a team that has a lot of defensive issues. This Toronto team, you know, they're still trying to figure it out. And I look at, you know, their results. They lose. May was a tough month for them. Well, they lose to Cincinnati back to back.
That's not as shameful as it used to be, okay? I'm just saying.
I know. But then it's Vancouver, loss, Orlando, loss, draw DC, and a 3-2 win against the Fire. And the Fire, we all know how bad they are this year. So TFC have not looked good. They have not impressed whatsoever. I think, you know, you add a piece that really changes the game in the attacking side of the game. It's great. There's a lot of hype. Players tend to raise their level, but defensively, they struggle. I mean, goalkeeper, back line, defensive midfield, the relationship. I think there's a lot that needs to be figured out.
How good is he going to be? What's your over under on goals plus assists for Insigne through the end of the year?
He has the quality to be 10 goals, 10 assists.
Agreed. Right?
Double digits in both goals and assists. I think coming in to halfway through the season in MLS, it's going to be difficult to kind of hit the ground running because there's that adjustment period and your team's not, it's not like he's coming into an LAFC or a team that's New York City FC where the team is flying and you have the ball all the time. I think for TFC, if he can score 5 goals and 7 to 8 assists in these next 6 months, it's a win.
We just got some breaking news here. Atlanta have a goalkeeper, it sounds like. Dave, you just dropped it into the chat.
I don't know that this Hercules Gomez is re-upping this Mexican report. Obviously, they haven't announced it yet. But yeah, it is a 26-year-old Mexican, former international, I guess you could say, and Raul Gudinho. We're hearing rumors that they're trying to get a center back from Tigres on loan as well. This is obviously a club that has these massive holes that they're just going to look, I think, I would assume for short-term fixes, although the report here is a 2.5-year contract, which I think is really interesting with the young goalkeepers that they have. A homegrown in Justin Garces, as well as Rocco Rios Novos in the pool. But unfortunately, I love Bobby Shuttleworth. I think he's a great part of this league. I think he has a role. I thought he was, you know, the right signing for the right team where he can be a spot starter, but he's not a full-time starter week in and week out.
We'll see what happens. It's right now in the rumor spot, but it seemed like Chivas was trying to move on from Gudinho. So let's see, other transfer news out there. Ache has arrived. Have you guys seen the flashy content that Houston are putting out?
Love it.
Gotta love it. Ache getting out of like blacked out SUVs, checking out the stadium, doing his thing, got his new home in Houston. He's going to change some fortunes right now. Houston just below the playoff line.
Yeah, he came on the field at halftime of the Uruguay game, was it? Or maybe, yeah, I think that was what it was, and just changed the game. what he does is just bring a level of energy to a game. He does it for Atleti, even though they don't play that way. He did it for Porto for such a long time, and he's done it for Mexico forever. And I think you're going to see just his overall quality at a high level. But when you watch Houston play and what they've done over the last few years, less so maybe this year, they've been a bit passive. They're passengers at times in games. That's out the window now. Aceh is a guy who jumps down the throat of opponents. He plays on the front foot. He's aggressive. He's intense. He's physical. And I think he's going to change the reality for the Houston Dynamo. And they're sitting in a playoff spot now. He doesn't have to get them in.
No, they're just below it. Yeah. I know. Kaelin Carr, you know, 26, 27, yeah.
Playoff line.
19
Boston, 18
points.
Burlington, yeah. Portsmouth, they're all the same.
Can you, you know what, by the way, the lawn mowing is done right now. I was listening to it, and you know how you know it's a castle that Charlie resides in. It takes like an hour and a half just to mow the area outside the window, outside his office. Like, it's crazy. The square footage, it's just stupid. It's unbelievable. Aceh, a perfect match, I think, for Nagamura. And we saw that Nagamura is truly like trying to change culture, and obviously Pat Onstad on down, that's what the whole goal was. Aceh, to me, and I know people have been like, he's washed. Like, no, not for him. I'm like, this is bigger than on the field. It'll be huge and important for them on the field. I think he'll be really good.
Wait,
this league.
Who said he was washed? Long.
Somebody on this show has been saying
he
that.
Started every game in Champions League. Moment of honor, whatever it was, by the team. No one has said that, Levy.
Anders says nobody has said that. I don't believe it. Somebody has said that. He's not washed, and he's going to change culturally, too. So I'm excited for that one. Sonny Kittle to DC United. By the way, DC at Chicago this week in 8 p.m. Unimas, Turian, and Twitter. And I mentioned it
Kerry
before.
Kerry Kittle?
Haul in, baby!
Sonny. Sonny Kittle, yeah. That's right, Anders. Bring your freaking straw man armies. I will take them
Charlie,
down.
Charlie, see how I keep that elbow
them.
In? So it's just that clean follow through Ray Allen, baby.
Pincer move.
That's nice.
Pincer move.
Look like Jason Tatum.
Just a reminder, ABC, ESPN, Saturday, Seattle, LAFC, LA, Portland. Those are at 3 and 5 Eastern. Again, just go to MLSsoccer.com. You get all the listings there. Sonny Kittle to DC. He's a 2 Bundesliga, a number 10. I think he had a Hamburg. I think he had like 9
Hamburg.
Goals, 16 assists. In the most recent Bundesliga season, they just missed promotion, so he might have stuck around maybe had they been promoted. But it's rumored that he could go to DC. DC could use a player like that.
Yeah, and then another 4 or 5.
All right, let me take this from Charlie and say it feels like the rumors we're hearing, the moves, it is an attacking 3 that they're going to create with Taxi. It would be Kittle. Now it sounds like this Henri striker from Venezia. Whatever it is, it feels like at least they're being
the back line.
What
I said, what about
no, I don't disagree, Charlie. But what was your complaint about Edison Flores the whole time? He made no sense in the system, he was a DP that made no sense. Now you're going to have 3 players who make sense together, who you can build around because they're young enough and they are going to make sense for the team you're playing because your next coach is going to be signed to coach those players. So, okay, it's a step forward, that's all you can ask for.
I mean, how could you take a step backwards at this point?
Well, speaking of, Sporting Kansas City also, Tom Bogert reporting, Eric Tommy, he's 27, 9 goals, 14 assists, and 96 career Bundesliga appearances, but very, very sparingly used in the Bundesliga recently. And I got a Nigerian forward, I believe, 8 goals in the Israeli top flight. He says those guys are coming in. Sources can confirm that those acquisitions are being finalized. Kansas City had to do something. It's been a little questionable on their scouting outside the league recently. I don't know if Tommy is, and I think I've said this elsewhere, I don't know if Tommy's like an indication that maybe Daniel Shalvey won't be back, or maybe he's versatile enough to play on and centrally and like,
outside the league.
Gadi Kinda.
Weeby, name a player in MLS who has come to KC and been successful
from within MLS. Yeah. Who Kansas City has traded for
or acquired?
I mean, Tim Mealy is a blindingly obvious
for sure. That was Seth, 8 years
Seth,
ago.
Seth Sinovic. Seth
yeah, that was 12 years ago. And yeah. Tim Mealy was a.
You didn't say time. Did you say timeline? Or
Tim
Mealy.
Well, I was sort of talking about the modern era, and Tim Mealy was a pool goalkeeper.
He's literally still their starting goalkeeper. Like it. Yeah. It doesn't matter if this is 8 years ago. He's still
the starting goalkeeper. He's not the keeper he was five, six,
my,
seven
my
years
point
ago.
Would be, I get what you're saying, but look at the teams that have won recently and look at the in-MLS moves they've made. And then look at KC. Seriously, since Tim Melia.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think, let me pose this to you. Do you think that's other GMs got tired of getting fleeced by Peter? Because for many years, he was like the fleecer in chief, right? Like he would make trades and we were just like, oh my God, how did he get that? He got what, 1.6 for Dom? Like what?
Well, that's outgoing.
Do you think other GMs were like, or do you think he was like, I'm too smart. I get the best deals. And then he just wouldn't pull the trigger if he thought the price was too high. When like, if you spend $2 million for Paul Areola, like imagine Paul Areola. I know Shallowy's here, but like, think about a team with Russell and Areola on the wings. You could book Shallowy would go up top in this team right now.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I'm not saying they had. I'm just saying.
But like, also,
you might have to overpay, but it might be worth it.
But I think the Dom Dwyer thing actually was them saying we can get talent from outside this league and then flip it inside this league for money. And they have not looked in the other direction. And when you look at all the winning teams in MLS, Sean Johnson on NYCFC, name other teams that have won. Drew Moore at Toronto FC. I don't know. That's why the first one that came to mind. Betashore and Moro that have moved around the league to some of the top teams over the last few years.
I mean, Tim Parker at Red Bull.
All the guys LAFC went and got. Kansas City hasn't been a part of that market. And it feels like that's a miss when you go and look. And now Courtney Ford's working hard. And obviously, I love his story. And that's great. Ben Sweat. I mean, Kyrie Shelton. These aren't really guys that have changed the game inside the league. And they have drafted incredibly. They've promoted some players, but they haven't really done a ton of work inside the league.
I think it's a good point. And another example from that, didn't pay Aiko Parra. And maybe you could say health-wise understandable, but Aiko Parra goes on and wins multiple Defender of the Year awards after that. I'm like, so, yeah, I don't know. Peter has said it. Kansas City's got a lot of work to do, and we'll see how these
Get in the front office already.
Huh? Weeby can't because they don't allow Hawaiian shirts, and Weeby's a big Hawaiian shirt.
Oh, no.
This is not a Hawaiian shirt.
No, but you put up the pictures of your sons, and that was a great picture. I love that.
I know. I got some other Hawaiian shirts I'm going to rock with them on vacation in San Diego. But I see you in San Diego here in a week.
Yeah.
In the flesh. Okay, last one from MLS, and then we'll hit ESPN Plus and do a quick U.S. and Canada stuff and get out of here. Whose leap is going to hold true? So we got some leaps that have been made. I would argue, and I guess Charlotte don't necessarily agree, that they've had a pretty decent leap for the roster that they've had to be in the playoff field. They're not in the playoff field on points per game. Cincinnati would be. Their leap is also pretty impressive. Hell, even Miami has had a leap. Austin's had probably the most impressive
RSL.
Leap.
RSL.
You think RSL was a playoff team?
They went to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, but that's a team that is overproducing right now. I mean, they're overperforming, overproducing.
Are you here for RSL? Do you believe? Will you stand up and believe? Will you shout it out, Real?
They will not be in the top four at the end of this year.
Okay, but how about the playoffs?
Playoffs, yeah, I could see them being in the playoffs.
Okay. How about Austin?
But not top
where
do four.
Austin finish? Brian Hensley asks, after a scorching hot start and less than a stellar May, where do you see Austin finishing end of the season? Playoffs? Home playoff match? They're not even imagining the other possibilities in Austin.
They're in the playoffs for sure, in my opinion.
All right. How about in the East? Charlotte, Cincinnati, Miami. They're all on the brink of the playoffs. Do any of those teams make the playoffs, Dave?
Oof.
I think Cincinnati does. I think you've seen since Nuoboto's come in, they've stabilized even more. They've gotten better. Brendan Vasquez, I think, can keep this level up, but also at some point, Brenner's got to do something. Even last year, he scored some goals.
Either something or just get sold.
Either way, which I think actually helps the club then emotionally move on. It feels like they believe in Pat Noonan. Again, back to that KC conversation, it feels like Chris Albright will make some moves maybe in the league to tweak a little to get the right contracts on the team. So I have belief that FC Cincinnati can maintain this level more so than the others.
By the way, Miami in Atlanta this weekend on national TV, ESPN2 on Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern. Atlanta below the line, 16 points so far, 4-5-4 for them. But they have, like, if Araujo gets back, you know, Almada's been super impressive, Moreno, maybe Joseph's going to be back. They would be the team, if I was looking at the East right now, saying who would be the one that pushes Cincinnati down, keeps them out. I think probably Atlanta would be that team. And hell, I go back to the transfer window. Maybe the Crew are going to go make a big signing. Who that might be, I don't know. Did somebody, you want to throw around some names? Looking at you, Charlie, or we don't have to. We could. No.
Charlie's good.
Cool. Okay, Crew fans are like, I heard EPL striker. Who
I heard
it?
Benteke.
Ooh.
Through the grapevine. What does that mean to you? If you heard they signed a player of his quality, Benteke, would that move the needle for you? Would that push Columbus into the playoffs if they had him, if they acquired him for this year?
I would, let's see. So 25 matches, 4 goals last year for Crystal Palace. I mean, it definitely moves the needle name wise, but as far as
I'm saying performance production,
performance wise, I guess he had 10 in 2021.
How many did Joseph Martinez have before he came to
Martinez was a winger before he even got here. Yeah.
Two goals.
But Joseph wasn't 31.
No, I would say, I think one of the things Benteke would add is they don't have a ton of speed. They don't play in transition, but I think his feet are good enough to help Zellerayan get space and combined on the top of the box. And then he's a winner on crosses, right? And so the quality may not be there from wing or fullback, but you don't need to.
If your wingers can't score, don't ask him.
Yeah, if you just get the ball in the box, he's going to win headers. He's going to score goals. He's probably good enough to elevate them to a playoff spot. That feels like the issues with them are bigger than just one player. But he's probably, if healthy, talented enough to push them along. Also, it makes sense, by the way, because he loved the LeBron celebration. And so he'd be going.
Did he?
Yeah, the moment LeBron did it, that was his goal celebration. So it makes sense to go to Ohio. Yeah, he just wants to be a kid from Akron.
Nice. Exactly. ESPN Plus, game of the week. Let us know what you think we missed as far as storylines for the rest of the MLS season. There are 28 teams in this league, people. Like, use the mailbag. We will talk about anything, anybody, any club, any manager, whatever. I put out a tweet before every show. Just reply. All you have to do, you can even just put, I mean, you'll do better if you ask a question, but you could just literally put like DC United in there. And Charlie might hit you with some strays, but we'll definitely talk about it.
Hey, I love DC United. So don't throw the club's name. I'm talking about.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Just picking the right players and getting you. The good, tactics
good
right.
Yeah, good yes. Clarification. ESPN Plus, game of the week. Mine, Philly, Cincy. This is the Pat Noonan, Jim Curtin game. They've been doing some good content ahead of this, basically like recording memories from each of them and having the other one watch it. So go check out the Twitter feeds and the YouTube pages for both clubs. It's been super, super entertaining so far. They're going to play on Saturday in Philly, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, MLS Live on ESPN+. Zach Smith asks, we have two pretty long unbeaten streaks in MLS at the moment. Dupe on 7 games, NYCFC on 8 games. Who breaks their unbeaten streak first? Do you think Cincy could
Charlie,
go to Philly?
Aren't the Revs on 7?
I was just waiting to see if he was going to bring it up.
I'm just reading tweets, man. Blame it on Zach. All
right.
Blame it on Zach. Zach didn't get the math right there, okay? Cincinnati's actually been good on the road. What do you think this game's going to look like, too? I mean, look, it's almost like Philly West. You got Noonan. You got Albright. Yeah. Preacher Ray.
But they're in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, to the West, directionally. Geographically, okay, west it. Is what I'm saying here. I think this is a Philly win, but I think this is going to be one of the most entertaining games of the weekend. Have some other questions here from Evan. Do the Union need another piece to contend? If so, where does the piece go? Lots of cash to spend.
I would say yes.
And maybe Kai Wagner leaving as well. Sounds like Ure is going to be back in the team for this one, I think, if I read the reports right. So we still haven't seen what he can do by any means. No stretch of the imagination. Where would that piece be for you, Charlie? Because Gazdag he's a dark horse MVP, according to one of our panel. Scoring against England.
I love that, by the way, but I'm pretty sure I picked him as my Golden Boot team.
Anders says he was your dark horse MVP.
But. Okay. I like both of them, but he's probably on both.
Yeah. We need a fact checker around here.
Yeah, we do. We really do.
Charlie, what position would you go for?
I think Jose Martinez is fantastic for them. I think Gazdag has brought the goods in terms of assigning who can score goals, makes great late runs out of midfield. I think they need another midfielder.
Okay.
Right. I've also said a center back.
They have the best center backs in MLS.
I've heard that. Oh, every time.
How's it still not true?
They have Andre Blake, who's phenomenal.
If they're going to go get a center back, I don't think it's going to be in the Glesnes mold. I think I would guess they'll try to get a little bit more creative, and they'll try to go find like a guy they think could be three that they could develop and sell.
So that doesn't,
I think
that doesn't take $10 million and make them away.
Yeah, to me, it's goal scoring or it's chance creation. Like Gazdag's been good. Carranza, fine. Ura. They need another piece that can threaten teams, that can change games.
If you're playing with two strikers, then yes, because Sergio Santos is effective, but if you can go out and get a big DP striker to play alongside Michael Ure, then yeah, you go and get that player.
Somebody can go right on the chain. I guess he's, I don't know. We'll see what the Union do. That doesn't seem to be their MO. Okay, Charlie, your ESPN Plus game. Give it to us.
New York Red Bulls at the four position. One win would put them level with New York City at the top of the Eastern Conference versus number 12 in the Eastern Conference, Toronto FC. I think both teams right now aren't playing at their best. New York Red Bulls lost 2-0 on the road at Charlotte. You know, I love the signing of Luquinhas. I think he's done a pretty impressive job. I look back at the brace that he had against DC United, two great goals. But I think they're at a point where they need to figure out how they're going to get results. Cause I feel like they're too focused on that, the press and being hectic, but there has to be a balance. And I don't think they've mastered that balance yet. And then TFC, you have one win out of your last six in the league. Not good. Not good at all. I mean, Pozuelo scored the brace recently, May 28th, when they beat the Fire. But he gave up two against the Chicago Fire. We know Fire can't really score goals. They have not been great. You gave two against DC, and then shut out, and one against Cincinnati. This Toronto is not in a good place. I know you can't sit there and say, we got to wait for Insigne to change everything. You have to build a momentum before that signing if you really want to have a shot at this year.
To me, the bigger issue, well, now, right now, is like you have a DP in Carlos Salcedo that's not playing at like, you know, a DP level.
Mm-hmm.
You got to figure that one out. ESPN Plus, Dave.
I've heard it. No, I'm just kidding.
I got it.
NYCFC hosting Colorado Rapids. We talked about NYCFC towards the top of the show. They are must watch anytime. They're out there. You're talking about the team that won MLS Cup first, the team that was first in the Western Conference last year. And I think all of the CCL teams have found their feet, even though maybe the points and results aren't there for some of the other ones yet. So I think the same about Colorado Rapids, Giassi Zardes. We hope back out there on the field, feeling healthy as they continue to get him involved in this team. And I recommend if anyone doesn't follow the outfield, they have another piece about a potential NYCFC stadium that came out sometime this week, and they do a great job covering NYCFC.
Hudson River Yards. Yep. Tell the people
Not Hudson River Yards. Harlem River Yards.
Sorry. Yeah. Harlem.
Hudson River Yards is downtown. It's 10-15 blocks south of Yankee Stadium on the water. It's between two bridges that you can walk over. If you take the subway through Manhattan, you can take the train all the way to the Bronx and then walk down. It was the site we heard about previously. Then they sort of moved off it because it didn't come through. And now it feels like it might be back online. But it would be, again, not just a game changer for NYCFC. It would be a world-class stadium site because of its proximity in New York City, not just to host soccer, but to host other events. And that's sort of the push for NYCFC. And when you talk, I do think about a Ronnie Dyla and, you know, all these other people. If they were playing in a packed soccer-specific stadium in New York City, I do think the global perception of this specific part of CFG changes. And it becomes a new job than what it is, even with the success on the field and selling players and everything like that.
Yeah, this is that's what they've been trying to get done for a long time, and we know how difficult it is. And the five boroughs. So good luck. Godspeed to NYCFC and that hope right there. USMNT and Canadian national team, we don't have much time here to do it. And I think we'll just skip it because we have like a full hour show coming out tomorrow on YouTube. Club and Country, Qatar 2020. Dave, Charlie, Doyle, and I sat down, I think on Wednesday. 2022. You're right, Anders. I'm living in the past here. Sat down on Wednesday and went through everything you might want to know about what went down in these June camps, as well as what's going to go down this summer in the transfer window, plus what the 26 man for the U.S. looks like right now. And as we said, Doyle did some wish casting, Kevin Paredes. So go check that out. Also, you can at MLSsoccer.com see Doyle and Tom Bogert's locks and 26 man rosters for the U.S. as well. There is news. It seems like Saudi Arabia will be one of the opponents in September in Spain. Still waiting on the others. Had a bunch of people asking us whether Haji got a fair shake in this camp, Charlie. I'll give you just 30 seconds to tell me whether Haji got a fair shake from Greg.
From Greg's perspective, yes, right? And from my perspective, you have training. You had opportunities to go into a game and make a difference, and it didn't work out. So every time you get on the field, you have a shot. It took me a while. It took me a few caps to finally make my imprint. So yes, he did get his chance. Did he take it? No. But that doesn't rule him out. That doesn't say, oh, you're not going to get a chance in 6 months. What it takes from him is going back to his club, whether it's another season in Turkey, whether he gets a move this summer, and producing like he did. If you stay consistent, you're just going to prepare yourself for the next opportunity. And especially if no one else in the forward pool delivers. So that's kind of the way you have to approach things, the mentality that you have to have. And I think if he can continue to do that, then that won't be the last time we see him.
We have a question from Paul. We'll get to the mailbag right now, 412060MLS, who says, why is there a common refrain among the soccer press that Hugo Perez should look for an MLS gig rather than stay as El Salvador's head coach? Am I too high on their possibilities of qualifying for 26? I don't think that's I think that's soccer press saying that through the grapevine from Hugo himself. Like, I think that's what he wants.
It's also,
you know, he has said recently that El Salvador, like, he'd like to leave them better than he got them there. There've been a lot of complications recently with the Federation. You saw Alex Roldan stay away during this Nations League window. Like, I think he sort of feels like, I've done what I can do. I would like to have this next challenge, and I'd like that challenge to be in MLS. So to me, he's like, he's campaigning basically to try to get that MLS job.
Yeah, 100%. Also, I think there's a difference between national team and club, the day in and day out coaching for people. And he has stated, along with the players, the lack of funding and support for El Salvador. And I think for some coaches, you feel like you hit a wall and there's only so far you can go. But it is interesting talking about 2026 because they are a program on the rise in the region. And if you do auto qualify the three hosts in Mexico, the US, and Canada, which we're not sure of yet, what will the rest of qualifying look like? And how does that open the door to the second half of the Ocho teams, the teams that just missed out in an opportunity to get to a World Cup for the first time, or the first time in forever when you talk about a Haiti or an El Salvador?
Yep. There'll be a bigger field. We know that for sure. Also in the mailbag here, Garrick, I dare you to say something nice about Springfield, Missouri. Can't do it, Garrick. One thing I know for sure, they're not going to be hosting World Cup games. Sorry, Southern Missouri. But we do know who could. So let's talk 2026 World Cup cities and get out of here. There are 10 U.S. cities that will be chosen of 16. There are three Canadian cities up for it, Edmonton, Toronto, and Vancouver. Two of those look likely to be chosen. All three cities in Mexico will be chosen, I think. Guadalajara, Monterrey, and DF, Mexico City. You have 60 matches in the U.S., 10 in Canada, 10 in Mexico. It is very likely what you're listening right now, you know the 10 from the U.S. You know the two from Canada. We don't. It is, at this moment, 2:39.
We're about 2+ hours away.
Yep. So give me this, just for fun. Your top three cities that you would go to just to go see a game and just assume that there's an awesome matchup for whatever reason, geography, et cetera, you know, quality in the group stages. What are the three cities that you would want to go to, just straight vibes? Do you have your three, Dave? I know you went through on MLS Today this morning, like based on food.
Which is great.
But where would you want to go? I'm giving you $25,000. I'm saying you're going to three places and you're
US,
going to do it right.
US only or all of them?
No, you can go anywhere.
So I would.
No, yeah. Oh,
so I would say Vancouver. I've never been. I'd love to go. The way they hosted the Women's World Cup, especially the final, you could see the impact on the city. obviously the setting of that stadium on the water with the mountains in the distance. So that would be one. Mexico City would be two. To see a World Cup game at the Azteca is a, you know, that's, I think, bucket list for any person who's a fan of this sport. It's the place that Pele and Maradona played in a World Cup. You would see the third edition of that. So that would be the second. And then I would pick an American city. And there's a few different options. I think I'm going to say Atlanta.
Might have an extra bedroom for you.
Yeah, for sure. I think I'm going to say Atlanta. you go there and, you know, celebrating MLS Cup there with those fans was amazing. It's a multicultural international city, so you're going to have home support from a lot of different people. It is the easiest access airport-wise to half of the planet, which you're going to have a ton of fans come from. It's a city that I love going to and I love being in. So yeah, that's going to be, those would be my three.
Those are great. I would, Vancouver, I agree with you. I've never been to Vancouver. It's been amazing. One of my biggest MLS travel regrets. So I definitely would say Vancouver because I'd want to be there for a Canada game. So like, let's hope that Canada opens up in Vancouver. I think maybe more likely they would open in Toronto, but who knows? So let's say Vancouver for me. I'll go Monterrey just because I've been to DFA, I've been to Azteca, and either honestly Monterrey or Guadalajara, either would be fine. But I'm going to say Monterrey because I love those views out of the stadium. And there's a lot of, you know, Northern Mexico. I think that's where I would want to be.
Because of the show we did, that there's actually fantastic barbecue in Monterrey because it's Texas border and it's like that type of culture, and it might be Mexican Texas barbecue fusion, which it could appeal to you.
And some people are going to groan about this one in the U.S., but this goes back to just where I would want to experience it. I'm going to say Miami. I've never spent any significant time in Miami at all. I'm going to say Miami for a game like South America.
Yeah, and June and July is a great time to be in Miami.
Yeah, like you wouldn't want to be in any other place.
So, I mean, like it's not going to be cool. It's not going to be a breeze off the water anywhere. Charlie, you could do vibes or you could choose USMNT group stage here. I kind of want you to choose the USMNT group stage. Where would you put three games for the U.S.?
Okay. Wouldn't you just pick Cincinnati three times?
Yeah, definitely not. And I definitely wouldn't pick Mexico City.
Sandwiched around friendlies in
yeah, what if they did that? What if they put Canada in the U.S., Mexico in Canada, and the U.S. in Mexico?
All right, my three cities for U.S. men's national team games. Boston. Atlanta.
Why Boston?
Boston has... This isn't about propaganda. If you remember the Premier League watch parties, they had the most incredible turnout of people to come out to watch the sport of soccer. They loved the sport. I grew up here. This was my first experience watching professional soccer ever, was going to a World Cup game, and it was South Korea versus Bolivia. And it was like the thing of dreams. It gave me my dream. So I know what it'll do for another
ahead of Father's Day. You'll bring your children.
But I think fingers crossed the U.S. doesn't draw England again, because all of Charlie's Premier League fans are going to be three Lions in Gillette Stadium.
Those Leicester City folks. Yeah.
So many Wolves fans.
Southampton TID.
Coming from Paw Tucket.
Boston, Atlanta. And my third one would be D.C., Baltimore.
DC, Baltimore. So Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Yeah. Why Baltimore? That's an interesting one to me.
Because I think in the Mid-Atlantic region, Baltimore and DC have always been really strong in terms of presence of fans, so many different cultures. They love the sport. I just think it would be an awesome place to play, especially Baltimore, a city that is still redeveloping and has a long ways to go. I think the sport would really help that.
That corridor between Baltimore and DC. I mean, half of the people Charlie played on the national team with are from there. It's not a coincidence, right? It is a soccer hotbed through and through. There's a reason the University of Maryland's been what they are. Like, it is a really cool place for soccer, and DC United has that history as well that you can sort of tap into.
And I already played in Seattle with the national team.
Okay. All right. Everybody knows whether or not we will actually be going to these cities and enjoying World Cup soccer in these cities at this point, I believe. So we'll look forward to that news. We will look forward to week 15, where we're 5 national TV games and everything else on ESPN Plus. Any questions, comments, concerns, references that we should have made but didn't, hit us up. You know how to get at us. And as always, put out the tweet before every show. That is your best chance to get in the mailbag. Please take advantage of it. We will see you on, I believe, Monday, but we'll let you know schedule-wise on Twitter. Adios. Have a great weekend.